before we do that, were we ready? Were we?
If you would like, I believe. Oh no, she's
still working on. Okay, no problem. Let's go with item nine. I have not spoke with Supervisor Stamper. I hope he knew this was up.
Item nine, a resolution ordinance amending Chapter 1 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances, Rules of the County Board of Supervisors, related to abstaining from voting.
Supervisor Stamper, if you're in the house, please. Is anyone else, no one else is listed as a co-sponsor on the... All right, County Clerk Czarnecki.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Joe Czarnecki, Milwaukee County Clerk, speaking for information only. I just wanted to share some information with the committee that I think you should be aware of. Is information that I have shared with Supervisor Stamper and I believe Supervisor Rainey. This is an issue that came up in the city of Milwaukee when I was there relating to abstention, and just want to make you aware. At that time, the city attorney opined, while there was not a definitive court decision on this, that it was likely that a rule which would compel a member of the legislative body to abstain, explain their reasons for abstaining voting, could violate their First Amendment rights on freedom of expression, because you also have the freedom not to express yourself. Also, in parliamentary procedure, it's generally accepted that members of a representative assembly are accountable to their constituents only, not to the body itself, and that the body cannot compel a member to not only vote in a certain way, but may not compel them to vote or not to vote on an issue. They can prescribe reasonable rules of procedure, but when it comes to voting, you as elected representatives are accountable only to the constituents who elected you and not to the board as a whole, and that's generally an accepted principle of parliamentary procedure, and just wanted to share that information with the members of the committee. And I'd be happy to share copies of that 2003 city's attorney's opinion with members of the committee, and like I said, I have shared it with the authors of the resolution.
Good question. Technical question, Mr. Clerk. How does it affect the voting requirements? So is that abstention vote reflected as a member voting or not voting? If you know, different requirements have of the members voting, the outcome based on the number of members voting or the members elect. So in this case, if it's of the members elect, an abstention is the same as a no vote then, right?
Essentially, when there is an ordinance, and again, I might defer to Corporation Council on this, the ordinance requires a majority or a supermajority of members elect, an abstention would essentially be considered a no vote in that case. With most other votes, generally it is those present and voting constituting a majority. And again, I would defer to Corporation Council to see if that is...
And in that case, the abstention would not be reflected of a member voting. It would be of a member abstaining or not voting. So it would not be included in the evaluation, right?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. So there are very few, and I can't tell you off the top of my head, situations where the vote is of members elect. But I agree with the clerk that if the requirement, statutory or otherwise, is for members elect, majority or two-thirds, for example, then an abstention becomes a no vote in that situation. But for most of your votes, it is a majority of those essentially present and voting. And so in that situation, one member abstains, 17 members are voting, you need 9 members to support it, to pass it as a majority and whatever the math is for two-thirds. So it's not a no vote, it's not a negative vote, it's an absence of a vote in that situation.
Okay, interesting. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you. I really find this an interesting question. Freedom of speech would be an individual right, but when the individual elected is acting as a representative of his constituency, it seems to me that the constituency is privileged to a right to know the reasons for that abstention, and that absent those reasons, we're only left to guess. I can't imagine, I have never asked to abstain. And I've never asked on some pretty tough votes, too. And I don't think I ever will, unless there's a direct conflict of interest, which I would feel compelled to explain my reasons. So this idea of substituting may for shall, I think we have a responsibility to express our reasons, whether it be may or shall, to our constituencies. And I just can't imagine, this operating otherwise. It seems to me it leaves a great void in the public understanding, and the public's right to know should trump everything else here.
Well, if I may respond, Mr. Sure. Chairman, as I said, in parliamentary procedure, you are responsible to your constituents and to your constituents only. You are not responsible to the board, and the board cannot, generally speaking, in parliamentary procedures, compel you to vote or not to vote. That is between you and your constituents. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, your constituents have a right to know. But in some respect, that is their responsibility to hold you accountable for your voting or not voting, and it is not the responsibility of the body.
But there's an immediacy here. I mean, when the issue is before you, and we all know that it takes the public a little while to catch up to what's happened legislatively, particularly, there's a perishability here, I think. How, for instance, what is the process by which, in any immediate way, a constituent holds you accountable as to your reasons for having done that? They can call you, and you can express that privately to them. But the whole rationale underpinning this, that it's First Amendment, just I find troubling, because I am accountable to those constituents, and I'm acting as their representative, and to not vote, which is an overt act, in my opinion, leaves them in the dark as to why I voted a particular way. And if they have to wait 2.5 years, in this case, to throw me out of office for that, it seems to be a very delayed and inadequate response to the public's right to know.
Well, if I may, Mr. Chairman, again, as you said, do not vote is an overt act, and it is arguable, and that overt act is an act that is constitutionally protected under your right of freedom of expression. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and don't ever accuse me of being one, but that's my understanding.
Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to motion for purposes of clarification to lay this matter over to the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
And it's my understanding that the author is desirous of that, that he did not realize that it had been scheduled. Supervisor Bowen, the motion before us is layover.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do support this piece of legislation. It also sounds like there's a question of legality as well. So if there is a layover, you might want to consider laying over to Corporation Counsel so that there can be an official legal document to state the legality of this ordinance change. But I would agree with Supervisor Broderick that this is about transparency to the public. And it sounds like that would be more important in this case, especially working in government. So I guess I'll wait till the information from Corp Counsel and the other information moves forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Supervisor Rainey.
So I would like to modify that motion to lay over and refer to Corp Counsel.
Okay. Motion would be for a referral to Corp Counsel. Seeing no questions on the motion.
On the motion to refer item 9 to Corporation Counsel, Supervisors Borkowski.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Saskunas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
There are 6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to refer to Corp Counsel is approved.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
They're just preamble.
Okay.
We're going to return to item 5.